Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 3 in your Bible, Matthew chapter number 3 and verse 13. Let's read verses 13 through 17, then we'll begin our thoughts for this morning. The Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Folks, I'd like to draw your attention to the opening comment of page 94 on the top of the page there. I want you to notice four things in this statement that I've given you to begin this thought this morning, and we'll be dealing with these four things in detail in the course of this lesson. John the Baptist was the first baptizer. His mode of baptism came from God. His baptism has no Old Testament equivalent, and his baptism is New Testament baptism exactly as we practice today. Now, for those that may have just came in that would you like to have the notes that we just had? Okay, we've got just two or three there that came in, brother, okay. Might be someone else, I think. Two sets up there, brother. So page 94. Now, I want you to notice four thoughts in that opening statement. First of all, John the Baptist was the first baptizer. That's statement number one. Number two, his mode of baptism came from God. God is the one that gave John the Baptist this baptism that he did. Number three, his baptism has no Old Testament equivalent. There are some that want to claim that what John was doing was simply a continuation of some kind of Old Testament baptism. Folks, that's just sheer foolishness. There is no Old Testament equivalent anywhere in the Word of God to what John the Baptist was doing. And number four, his baptism is New Testament baptism exactly as we practice today. Now, folks, remember in this whole series of lessons, my basic premise is simply this on Baptist history. The very first church established in the New Testament was a Baptist church. New Testament churches have been in existence from the very first church until this very day. It will stay in existence until the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and our heritage as independent Bible-believing Baptists today is a great and wonderful heritage that goes all the way back to the very first church. Not only was the first church established a Baptist church, it may not have been called a Baptist church in that day, but then again, there were no other denominations. There was no need for a distinctive name in the first church because it was the only one. But not only does the Baptist church go all the way back to the first church, but I maintain that the very first Baptist was John the Baptist, and that the baptism that John the Baptist performed in his day is exactly the baptism that you and I perform today in our Bible-believing Baptist churches. Lasting honor belongs to the Baptist for his exalted privilege of having baptized his Lord. We just read that in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. This distinction is all the more remarkable in that John felt unworthy to perform this blessed symbolism, and it marks the first time in recorded history that the triune God appeared at the same time and place. Folks, I want you to think about this. The Lord Jesus Christ left where he was, came to where John the Baptist was, and told John, he said, "You need to baptize me." John, of course, objected first, and he said, "Lord," he said, "I need you to baptize me." And the Lord said, "You know, John, we've got to fulfill all righteousness here." And so John did as our Lord desire. Now, God was present in all three persons at this baptism. Of course, God the Son was there. The Lord Jesus Christ was being baptized. The Spirit of God was present and descended in the form of a dove and landed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God the Father was present. God the Father was present, and He spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him." The first time recorded in the Bible that the triune God is present in one place at the same time. Now, how about the importance of this baptism? I want you to notice the importance that the Lord Jesus Christ placed on this baptism. First of all, He put forth great time and effort to go to the place where John was in order to be baptized. I want to give out some scripture here, and who'll turn to Mark chapter 1 and verse number 9 and read that for us? Brother, thank you. Go ahead and turn there. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 9. I've got some passages that I'm going to want to read. It'll take a little time. It's important that we read those. Oh, I've got three passages. Matthew chapter 21, verses 24 through 27. I need three people that'll be willing to read these. Matthew chapter 21, verses 24 through 27. Who'll read that? Thank you, Brother Shane. Mark chapter 11, verses 27 through 33. Mark 11, 27 through 33. All right, Brother Donald, thank you so much. And the last one, Luke chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. Luke chapter 20. Verses 1 through 8. Thank you, brother, if you'll take that one. Now, I want you to notice the importance that the Lord Jesus Christ places on this baptism. Let's begin by reading Mark chapter 1 and verse number 9. All right. The Bible says there that the Lord left where He was and came to where John was to baptize in the Jordan. Now, folks, I got my Bible maps out. I read Mark chapter 1 and verse 9, where Jesus was, and I used a scaled map of that part of the world, and I got my scale out, and I scaled it off. And as near as I can tell, now I've read what other people said about this, and different people say different things about the distance. Now, don't you stay with me now for just a moment. Remember, they didn't have a nice car like you drove to church this morning. Didn't have MARTA or Greyhound. Couldn't take the train in those days. So the Lord Jesus Christ was either walking, or He was riding a donkey or a horse or whatever. And conservatively, the Lord Jesus Christ traveled 20 miles based on my own scaling it off from where He was to the closest place in the Jordan River where John could have been baptized. The Lord made a journey of, I'm going to say conservatively, 20 miles in order to go where John was and be baptized by John the Baptist. Now, I submit to you that our Lord thought it very important to receive this baptism that was being performed by John the Baptist, in that our Lord took a lot of time. He made a long journey. He got to where John the Baptist was, and He said, and if I could say this humbly without smearing either John the Baptist or the Lord Jesus Christ, there ensued a little bit of an argument or a little bit of a conversation here. The Lord said, "I need you to baptize me." And John the Baptist said, "Ah, Lord, I need you to baptize me." And of course, the Lord told him, He said, we've got to fulfill all righteousness here. So John submitted and baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ thought this baptism very, very important. He made a long journey. He put forth a lot of effort. There was great determination on the part of our Lord to go and receive this baptism. Why was it so important? See, my basic thesis here, my basic concept here, it was important because what we're seeing is the institution of New Testament Christian baptism just exactly like we performed that. Why am I belaboring this point so much? Folks, I'm doing this because almost all the commentaries that you may have on your shelves, if you took the top 20 commentaries, and by the way, I've got them all. Those that are written not so much by just Baptists, I wish they were. They're written by supposed conservative evangelicals, whatever words we want to use right now, and I all know. Most of them tell us that the baptism of John the Baptist is not the same as New Testament Christian baptism that you and I practice today. I don't believe a word of that. I believe that the baptism of John the Baptist is exactly the same baptism that you and I perform today. Now, our Lord put forth great time and effort to go place where John was in order to be baptized. Secondly, note this. Our Lord said concerning this baptism, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He said that in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15, and we just read that to open up the lesson this morning. Christ did actually, you've got two, those of you that are wanting to fill in your blanks here, you've got two blanks in that little paragraph there. Christ did actually fulfill all righteousness on the cross of Calvary. However, He did it symbolically in His baptism, which promised and prophesied and pictured His real death and burial and resurrection. Our Lord's baptism gave force and authority to His later command to baptize in the Great Commission, as well as shows that this is the New Testament baptism that is in force today. Of course, all of us are familiar with Matthew chapter 28, going into all the world. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and other portions of the Word of God. We're familiar with the Great Commission. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us in the Great Commission, He said, I want you to go out. I want you to preach to them. Tell them, give them the gospel. When they get saved, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And folks, I submit to you this morning, that force and authority is given to the Great Commission because our Lord Himself also submitted to this New Testament Christian baptism. Remember, our Lord is our great example. Our Lord is the one that we are to emulate. He's the one that we are to follow. The Lord Jesus Christ was baptized by John the Baptist. And there's not a hint anywhere in the Word of God that our Lord was ever baptized again. As a matter of fact, all the disciples were baptized by John the Baptist. And the Bible never says that they were ever baptized again. The only place in the Bible that ever hints that anybody that was baptized by John the Baptist, were baptized again, is in Acts chapter 19. We're going to get there. And those folks didn't have John's baptism at all. And we're going to show you that from the Word of God. It's in this lesson you got. Now, don't turn over there. You're going to mess everything up and all. But I shouldn't have said that, should I? Anyway, Jesus was baptized by immersion to show all people for all time how baptism should be done. Now, there can be no doubt that John the Baptist was the first baptizer and that this authority came from heaven as attested to in several places in the Word of God. Now, we're going to read those accounts right now. We've got three portions. This is in your note. We've got three portions. Now, I want you to notice in this portion, here's what we're going to see from the Word of God. We're going to see that the authority for the baptism of John the Baptist came from the same place that our Lord's authority came from. And that place is heaven. The authority for John the Baptist to baptize came from heaven. And our Lord's authority from now, remember, the Lord, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is God Almighty manifest in the flesh. But in the flesh, our Lord willingly submitted Himself to the Father And from that perspective, the authority that the Lord Jesus Christ had to teach and preach as a man, his authority came from heaven, from the Father. Now, let's read the portions from the Word of God. Let's begin by reading Matthew 21, 24 through 27. Folks, the verses I gave Brother Shane to read, he began at the verse that we wanted to start with. If you go back before that, and of course we didn't read the entire passage because of time, but the people were questioning the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in that passage, and they asked him just prior to where Brother Shane started reading, they said, "What authority do you have talking to Jesus? What authority do you have to be doing what you're doing and preaching what you're preaching? What authority do you have for that?" And the Lord said, "Well, let me ask you a question. And if you'll answer my question, I'll answer your question. Where did John the Baptist get his authority? Did he get it from heaven or did he get it from men?" Now, the obvious implication in that passage and the other two that we're about to read, the obvious implication is that John the Baptist got his authority from heaven, the same place the Lord Jesus Christ got his authority. So, the Lord is equating his authority from heaven with the authority of the Baptist, which also came from heaven. Let's read the next passage. Mark chapter 11, verses 27 through 33. Folks, I'd like you to take note that the professional religionists that were questioning the authority of the Lord in that portion of Scripture, when they were questioned about the authority of John the Baptist, they were afraid to say that his authority came from men. The reason they were afraid to say that is because all the people knew there was a prophet. Now, could I go back and remind you of something? The Bible tells us that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb all of his life. The common people heard him gladly. Remember, we looked at the Word of God where the entire region came out to hear the preaching and teaching of the Baptist, and multitudes were saved and baptized by John the Baptist, and all the people recognized that he was indeed a man of God. He was so much a man of God that many times the Baptist was confused with being the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, he himself admitted that he wasn't Christ. He himself admitted that the Lord Jesus Christ must increase and he must decrease. He himself admitted that he wasn't even worthy to loose the shoes from the feet of the Savior. But yet he was such a man of God and he had such authority from God that the people all recognized that instinctively. They knew that because he was different from the professional religionists of the day. And our Lord tells those that question his authority, he says to them, "Listen, My authority comes from the same place that John the Baptist gets his authority, and that place is from heaven itself. Luke chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. I don't think I need to comment again. I've commented on it already. There could be no doubt that John was the first baptizer and that this authority came from heaven, as attested to in these passages. By implication in these passages, Jesus told the doubter that his own authority was from the same source as John the Baptist, that is from heaven. Therefore, John was the first baptizer. He was the first Baptist. Since John was the first baptizer, and since his name was Baptist, he must have been the first Baptist. Wow, that's simple enough. I kind of like that myself. Page 95, the top of the page. Well now, in light of the previous statement, were the first century believers all Baptists? Now, folks, if nothing else, I want to be honest here. I want to be honest here. No record exists, as far as we know. I probably should have put as far as I know. No record exists, as far as we know, that they were called Baptists. But since they all believed John's doctrine, they were all Baptistic. This name Baptist does not distract from the honored name Christian, which was first given by pagans in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. By the way, you know, in every age, the people of God have been given labels. People that I refer to as Baptist folks, they've been given labels by their enemies, and the labels or the titles that they were given were meant to be derogatory names. When our Baptist forefathers were called by the various names, when they were called Anabaptists, or when they were called Paulicans, and on and on and on we could go with all the different names. And by the way, in the course of this study, we've at least thrown out there most of those names. They were called Montanist at one point in history. And a lot of names. In almost every case, the name that they were given, that they were known by, was not a name that they gave themselves. It was a name that their enemies gave to them because they wanted to deride them and ridicule them and make fun of them. That's the way it was with the name Christian. When our forefathers were first called Christians at Antioch in Acts chapter 11, that name was given to them not as a name of honor. It was intended for a name of derision. You see, those that gave them that name hated the Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and they wanted to associate them, the followers of Christ, with the one that they detested, and they called them Christians. The name Baptist does not distract from the honored name Christian, which was first given by pagans in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Next, by a pagan king in Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. And used only once in the New Testament with its proper honor in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. It seems entirely safe to say that the first century Christians would consider their honored name Christian as an exact synonym for the name Baptist. So, folks, I'm making a statement here. For those that are filling your notes, you've got two blanks in that sentence. The honor name Christian as an exact synonym for the name Baptist, the term Christian and Baptist. You see, I submit to you this morning that the term Christian and the term Baptist are synonymous. They're the same. They mean exactly the same, refer to exactly the same people. How did John think of baptism by immersion as a symbol for the Christian gospel? Now, if we were in children's church this morning, I could get in trouble because that's a trick question. In children's church, I never ask trick questions, and the children know I don't, but I've asked a trick question here in this portion. The trick is this. John the Baptist didn't think of baptism as a symbol for the Christian gospel. He didn't think about it. God's the one that thought of it. God's the one that gave it. I don't know if any of you have all your notes with you. And when I was working on this, I originally wasn't thinking about what I'm going to bring up now, but I've got my notes with me here. All the way back on page number 8 of your notes, down the second thought from the top of the page, the second sentence from the top of the page, here's what it says. In every age, now say with me here, in every age, the mode of baptism has represented an entire system of belief and revealed how the individual believer's salvation is obtained. Many, many good Baptist historians will tell you. Now, I'm building up to what we've got in our notes for today here, and this applies well. I'm reminding you of something. This is not the first time we've came to this thought. We've presented this way, way back. We just didn't stay on it for very, very long. Then, Baptist historians have realized that as they've gone back and studied the history of our forefathers, that baptism was the watershed event, if you will, that caused great persecution, even unto death, to come on our Baptist forefathers. Listen to what some of them said. This is on page 8 of your notes, going way back. James Beller said this: "The debate over baptism has been repeated throughout history, with great upheaval and terrible consequences. It is the question of baptism that makes a Christian what he is. It is debate about baptism that makes Christianity maintain its edge." J.M. Carroll wrote this: "Baptismal regeneration and infant baptism, these two errors, according to the testimony of well-established history, cause the shedding of more Christian blood as the centuries have gone by than all other errors combined." Folks, listen. As Bible-believing Baptists, the symbolism of our baptism is such that our baptism symbolizes our entire system of belief. Baptism symbolizes the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism symbolizes that when we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that our old man was buried, if you will, and we've been raised to walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus. Over the centuries, our forefathers suffered and died over this thing of baptism. You know why? Because all of those false Christian religions of the world, past and present, all of them practice one of two things when it comes to this matter of baptism. They either practice baptism as infants, which helps in, according to who you're talking to, what false group you're talking to, they would all explain it a little bit differently. But when they baptize babies, they're stating by their baptism that they believe that that has some part in that baby's salvation. or they outright practice baptismal regeneration. They teach that baptism has some part in being saved, or some of them even teach that it's absolutely essential, like the heretical Church of Christ teaches today. Wow. You see, baptism is important. You know what we've done as Baptists? We've made it meaningless in our Bible-believing Baptist church for the most part. We have been so afraid over the years that somebody was going to think that we were teaching that when we baptized them, it had a part salvation. We have downplayed baptism to the point that it's almost meaningless. I think some of our good Baptists, listen, I'm independent Baptist to the core because that's biblical Christianity. It's the same. But folks, I'm afraid that we've lost the meaning of our baptism in our Baptist churches because we've played it down. We didn't want folks to think that we were teaching baptismal regeneration. And so we've made it sound almost like it was meaningless. Folks, it's not meaningless. Historically, our baptism has symbolized our entire biblical belief in Christ and salvation. Now, that baptism is a symbol of the Christian gospel is indicated in the fact that the word baptized, I'm almost out of time here, the word baptized and baptizes represent in the Bible the entire ministry of Christ in certain places. Those same words represent the entire work of John the Baptist in other places. Let's read just a couple of places. Someone turn to John chapter 3 and verse 22. Who'll turn there and read that? John 3:22. Who'll read that? Brother, thank you so much. I need somebody to read John 1:28. We'll read John 1:28. Thank you, Brother Shane. Let's go ahead and read those. John 3:22. Now, I want to ask a question. This is not a trick question, so I'll be okay in children's church with this one. When the Lord Jesus Christ and His disciples came on the scene, wherever they were, here they were in Judea. When they came on the scene, wherever they were, I want to ask this simple question. Were they doing more than just baptizing? Did they ever show up in some place and all they did, they baptized people. They showed up, they went down to the water, they started baptizing. Didn't say a word, didn't preach anything, didn't teach anything. They just started baptizing. The answer to that obviously is no. When they came on the scene, they were preaching and teaching the Word of God, and those that believed, they were baptized. Now, you've got several points. Those of you who have the notes, you've got the notes. You can read it yourself. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. The term baptize or baptizeth is used in the portions I've given you there to represent the entire ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and of John the Baptist. That term baptize or baptizes represents the fact that they were preaching and teaching and people got saved and they took them down into the water and they baptized them. It's symbolic of all that they believed. Let's read John chapter 1, verse 28. Now, I understand in both of these portions, folks, I understand that I've pulled a verse out of context here and we've just read one verse without reading what's before and after it. And we're going to get to it in the notes, not today, perhaps next week. You know that John the Baptist, it says there that John the Baptist was baptizing, and we're going to show you from the Word of God that John the Baptist always preached, he always preached before he baptized. So what am I saying? I'm saying that the term baptized there is symbolic of his entire ministry, including all of his preaching and all of his teaching. You see, I believe that Christian baptism by immersion is the greatest symbol in the world. The greatest symbol that God has ever given us. This is not to say that baptism procures salvation, but it does picture or portray salvation. It represents the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ, which does secure salvation for all repentant sinners. You see, all that we have done spiritually when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, everything that we believe, all that has taken place to make that salvation possible for you and I, all of that is symbolized in water baptism that God has given to you and I. So, where are we going? Simply this. The baptism of John the Baptist was exactly the same as the baptism that you and I perform today in our Baptist churches. We'll continue at this place, Lord willing, next week. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the good word of God. Bless the services to follow. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.